We're going to pick up right where we left off last week in verse 27 of chapter 1. Paul writes, whatever happens, and there's been a lot happen already. Paul is writing from where? From a prison, right? Likely in Rome, but he's writing from a prison. And he goes, okay, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you, it's like up in the air, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only, now catch this, not only to believe in him. Sometimes we think about Christianity as just merely a set of beliefs, but not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul is writing the Philippians, and he's writing a group of people who are suffering. But it's very interesting the way he frames suffering. Sometimes we tend to think about it in terms of it's kind of, I don't know, happenstance, it's kind of accidental, or maybe it's divine punishment, you know. But Paul says, no, this is what you signed up for. You not only believe in him, but you're suffering for him. So Paul says, don't be surprised when suffering comes. Don't be surprised when people oppose you. Don't be surprised when you experience conflict in your life. And some of you right now, you know that conflict. And Paul says, even then, even in those moments that you find yourself in conflict, don't forget. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy. Worthy of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. This sets up all of chapter 2 that we're about to read as Paul continues to write. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Now, I want to just stop right there. What is Paul saying? He's saying, I want you to know that peace is possible. Because they had to have been wondering, right? Like, they are suffering just the way that he's suffering. They probably were discouraged that he might be discouraged. He's in chains. But Paul says, no, I want you to see beyond all of that. Peace is possible. Well, Paul, why is peace possible? And he says, because of Christ. It's almost like he's saying, remember? Now, he's writing these people that he spent time with, that he loves, that he knows. Remember, you know me. I know you. We've been together. We've gone through the fire together. We've had meals together. We've said goodbye to loved ones together. And you know this. It's not like if you've received encouragement, like, I don't know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. No, in the Greek, what we're seeing here, it's really, it's a reality. He's speaking about this in terms of reality. These things are certainties. Maybe we could translate it, since you have received encouragement, because you have received encouragement. You have received encouragement. I know this about you. You've received encouragement from Christ. You've received compassion from Christ, comfort, tenderness. And because I know you have, and because you know you have received these things, you know in the depths of your soul, you know that peace is possible. Now, here's the thing that I love about Philippians and I love about Paul's writing. He doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just say peace is possible. He shows us how. And this is what it looks like. If you want to lessen conflict in your life and get some of that peace back, here's where we begin. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. I know how countercultural this is. To value others beyond ourselves. Totally countercultural to our society today. Yet this is what Paul gives us. This is what he says. This is your next step. This is what you do. This is if selfish pride is what gets you into conflict, then it's humility that's going to get you out of conflict. I'm embarrassed to say, more times than not, it has been me that has caused the conflict in my life. You know, I would love to tell you that it's some circumstance outside of my control, that it was the result of someone's poor behavior. And sometimes it is, let's just be honest. But more times than not, I am the pirate of my own peace. Alicia and I, we had an opportunity to get a little getaway. It was earlier this summer, and the kids were at camp, and I had a break in my schedule. We had like a few days there on the calendar, and we said, hey, you know what? Let's just go somewhere. Let's do something. And so we did. It was last minute, but I got a last minute deal. And here's the good news about the last minute deal. It was a direct flight. The bad news is a red eye flight. I somehow always get us into these things, you know, trying to save money. Anyway, we got the red eye flight, and as we're boarding the plane, we're leaving like at 11 midnight, somewhere in there. We're boarding the plane, and the line stops moving. I'm actually on the plane, but I look in row 20, and there's a family that has decided they all want to sit together, but they didn't get their tickets together. And so they're asking everybody to move. Everybody does not want to move. My line is not moving. Stewardess comes up and says, hey, if you don't, you know, get a move on, we are going to be late. We are not going to depart on time. And so it's a kind of a whole thing. Finally, they figure it out, and the line starts moving. We finally get in our seat for the 4.5-hour red-eye flight, which is fine because we probably got a good 3 minutes of sleep in between the toddler screaming right behind us. I mean, piercing, just screaming. But hey, that's okay. We're on vacation. And so we get off the plane, we go to get the rental car, and they advise us, or they tell us, hey, this isn't the place where you pick up the car. You're actually going to have to get on a shuttle and go somewhere else to get your car. Hey, that's okay. We're on vacation. And me and my newest 15 friends, we pack into this shuttle at like 5 in the morning, and we go to the rental car place. I tell Alicia, hey, go get our bags. I'm going to get to the front of the line. I know how these things work. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to save us some time. Should not have said that. So I go up to the front of the line, but no one's at the counter. Finally, a guy walks out. I walk up to the counter. I find out he is brand new at his job at 5 o'clock in the morning. It takes him about 20 minutes just to get my paperwork done. But that's okay. I'm on vacation. So then after that, he says, go outside. Someone will bring you your car. I kid you not. I waited another 15 minutes for somebody just to drive. I was first in line. Finally, guy pulls the car up. I walk around. I mean, I'm thinking, I can't believe we're running this late. I walk around, and I'm not making this up. I'm going to put my luggage in the back seat. I open the car, and the handle comes off in my hand. Now, the man who's helping me at the time doesn't speak the same language that I do, so I'm thinking there's a universal language, like holding up a handle in my hand, going, we have a problem here. He looks at me, and he shrugs as if to say, is there something else you need? And I'm just standing there, and finally, you know, we communicate enough. He's like, you're going to have to go back in, and you're going to have to, like, do the whole thing again. I'm like, I'm not doing the whole thing again. That took a while. So I walk up to the guy. Now, at this point, all my 15 friends, they're in this long line waiting, right, for the guy who's new at his job. So I'm just kind of like walking by. I'm like, hey, it's cool. I got to handle this. Something's gone wrong. I walk up to the guy, and I'm like, I'm going to need another car. And he goes, sir, you're going to have to go to the back of the line. Breathe. I'm a little bit type A about things like this. So I go to the back of the line, just like a good Christian would. But I got my arms crossed. I'm tapping. I'm letting everybody know. I've got my arms crossed with a handle in my hand because I've still got it. I still got the problem. So I finally get up there to him, and I give him the handle. He looks at it. He hands it back to me. I'm not really sure why. He hands it back to me, and he goes, just go on outside and tell him you need another car. Right? Like, I just waited. Okay, we're way past an hour into this that I've been trying to deal with this just to get the rental car, just so I can start vacation. But it's not happening. So I walked outside. The guy, he said, you know, just go outside. And so here's what I did. I reached across the counter. And I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. I did not. I actually had a Go Be Jesus t-shirt on. I felt like that would send the wrong message. So finally, after all that, goodness, I don't even remember where I'm at in this story. I finally got in the rental car, and it was empty. So anyway, that has nothing to do with it. But I was on vacation. Listen, here's the thing. I did want to reach across the counter. Can I confess? I was just like, you know, are you kidding me? I wanted what I wanted. I had paid for what I wanted, and I wanted it at least within the hour. Basically saying, how dare the world not revolve around me? I walk outside, somebody's sitting there, and they go, yep, they are understaffed. And I was thinking, I really don't care. Because that was my attitude, because I could no longer understand, because I was too busy demanding that things be done my way. Now, we're talking about service here. There's nothing wrong with wanting good service, okay? But when you're so critical that you forget to be grateful, that's a problem. There's nothing wrong with wanting to succeed in life, but when you hurt others to do it, you've got a problem. There's nothing wrong with wanting to win in life. We should have that ambition, but when it becomes selfish ambition that takes advantage of others to do it, then you've got a problem. There's nothing wrong with wanting good car rental service. But when you can no longer see your blessings because, well, all you can really see is self, you've got a problem. We're talking about an obsession with self that excludes others from the scenario, that hurts others. An obsession with self robs us of our peace like it did for me that day. James, the brother of Jesus, here's what he said. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. We could almost kind of reverse that, couldn't we? Where you see disorder and every evil practice, dig a little deeper, what are you going to find? Envy. Selfish ambition, pride, comparison. You call it what you want to, but it wreaks havoc in our lives and to our peace with others. So, Paul says, you want to lessen conflict in your life, then in humility, you value others. In fact, that's our third I statement that Paul gives us. We started out, he said, I always pray. Last week we saw him say, I rejoice. And this week, Paul says, I value others. In humility, value others above yourself. Their interest above your own interests. And this can be very, very difficult to do. But Paul's saying, be humble. Not just because it works, not just because it lessens conflict in your life, but be humble because it's Christ-like. In fact, it is the example of Christ that Paul begins to point to as the reason for our humility. Look at what he writes. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. It is the example of Jesus that Paul begins to point to. It's why we should value others. I want to share with you just a few practical ways that we can value others. You're probably going to be able to think of some better ways, but I wanted to be really practical. How we can start, even this week, we don't even have to wait, this week, how we can begin to practice this kind of humility and valuing in others, interest beyond ours. Here's just a few practical ways. Encourage those who serve you. Now, we've got people who serve us all the time. People in the hospitality industry, maybe it's the medical field, business, our teachers, you know, in our educational system. We have people who are serving us just wanting to do a good job to help us. Can I encourage you to encourage them? See them. Encourage them. Understand them. Don't just demand from them. Alicia is a dental hygienist. And it was a while back, she had a lady who wanted to see her and only her, which I totally get that. So they started rearranging all the schedule, right? Like she couldn't make this day, but Alicia was only working on this day. And so what Alicia ultimately did was she gave up her lunch break so that she could see the lady at 12 o'clock. Walking her back to the chair, the lady goes, running behind. Don't be that person. Don't just see the people who serve you as just there to serve you. You have an opportunity to serve them as you encourage them. Look beyond yourself. It's the perfect opportunity to look beyond yourself and see the value of others and to value them. Number two, bring a backpack. Now, this is one you're going to find out a little bit more about. You can find all the information in your app. But we are actually valuing others. We're valuing our young children in the schools around us who do not have the supplies that they need. So bring a backpack. We're going to fill it with supplies. All the information, it's in your app. I hope you'll join us in that. Number three, invite someone along. Do you know that there's an epidemic of loneliness in our country? People are lonely. And sometimes the only thing that they need is just someone to say, hey, you want to go? You want to come along? Maybe it's a party that your friends have invited you to, and like you're just feeling good about the fact that you were invited and you don't, but you know, someone came to your mind and you're like, they would love this. Invite them along. Bring them along. There's something really cool going on this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday night. There's a concert. It's called Unite. It's going to be at the Alamo Dome. Churches have come together so that these artists can present the gospel through song, but also a clear, compelling message of the gospel. You should totally go, and you should totally bring somebody else with you. You can get tickets out there. The tickets are free, but you need the piece of paper. And bring someone along. Invite someone along. It'd be a great time. And you never know. That might be exactly what somebody needs. Number four. Listen to someone's story. Now, this one may be a little harder for some of you than others. Some of you are just great listeners, and some of us, not so much. Value someone by taking time to be interested in the details of their story. Don't we just love being with people who, when we're talking to them, they go, hey, tell me, how's your family doing? Like, what's going on with you? How are things going? Okay, so, you know, they're wanting the details about you, and you go, man, this is refreshing. Now, there are a lot of people who would love to talk to you and tell you their story, But few people are really interested. This is a practical way for us to be able to value other people, be interested in the details of their story. Number five, be generous to someone who can't repay you. It's easy to be generous to someone who can repay you, but I'm talking about being generous with your money, with your time, with your giftedness. Be generous. We have a core value here at Oak Hills Church, radical generosity. Radical generosity, above and beyond what makes sense. Because that's how we value people, specifically the people who can never repay us. Number six, slow down and smile. I almost didn't put this one up there because it just seems so, I don't know, simple, right? So easy. This is one I'm working on. In fact, I walk fast. I got everything I do. I talk fast. I've got somewhere to be. I got some, people to meet, that sort of thing. And it was interesting in between services. Someone came up to me, their spouse works on our staff. And they said, they came home and they said, I got to tell you what happened at work today. Said, I was walking down the stairs and Travis was walking up the stairs, like really kind of jumping up the stairs, like two or three at a time, which is true. I probably was doing that. Said, and he kind of blew by me and then I said, hi, and he just stopped. And he just talked to me. Just looked at me and talked to me, and we just had this conversation. I could tell he was busy. I could tell, but now that meant something to her that she went home and told her husband about. You see, we can do this. I don't know if this is you. This is me. I'm just telling you what I need to hear. Sometimes we need to slow down because you cannot value others if you are moving so fast that you can't see others. Let people know, I see you. Make them feel like the most important person in the whole room. Don't look past them. Don't be thinking about what's next. Make eye contact. Let them know that they're important. And let them know what they mean to you by just slowing down. And sometimes it's as simple as a smile. Just a small act of kindness can brighten someone's day and value them. Number seven. Leave something better than you found it. This is one that my dad taught me. Always leave things better than when you found it or when you borrowed it. I love this story. I heard this story this past week. Rick Warren tells the story about being with Dan Cathy. Dan Cathy is the son of Truett Cathy, who's the founder of Chick-fil-A. They were in California, and they were actually together because they were looking at a Chick-fil-A that was up and coming. It wasn't quite ready, but they were just kind of touring it and well, they were hungry and thirsty, and so what did they do? They went across the road to the competition, another fast food joint. I think it was like a Taco Bell or something. They go inside the Taco Bell, and as they're coming out of the restroom, Rick says, I'll never forget, I noticed that Dan stopped taking out paper towels and cleaning the counter of the bathroom. It's the competition! It's Taco Bell, and I'm sure Taco Bell never knew that that Dan Cathy was in their bathroom cleaning it. You see, that's the thing. Sometimes we leave things better than we found it, and people don't even know it, but we do it because that's who we are, and it's valuing other people. You need to clean something that doesn't even belong to you. Teens, clean the stuff that does belong to you. Maybe it occurred to me just now, maybe I need to back up. Maybe it's just my house. I don't know. And some of us adults need to work on that one too. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, clean things that don't belong to you. And by the way, I expect everybody to be in our restrooms today, like with paper towels, cleaning that thing up. Because what do we think a lot of times? We go, oh, they pay someone to do that, right? That's kind of like our attitude. Well, somebody else will do that. They get paid to do it. No. Leave it better than you found it. I got to move on. Number eight, brag on someone to their supervisor. We have enough negativity in our world. We have enough gossip. We have enough people who are willing to go behind someone's back and gossip. What if we did this? What if we went behind someone's back to brag on them? And what if we said, I'm going over your head? I actually think this would be kind of a cool idea. What if we left here today, and I don't know, maybe you go out to eat for lunch or whatever today, and you ask the wait staff, "I'd like to see your manager." They walk up, they say, "Sir, ma'am, what seems to be the problem?" Say, "You see this person right here? They're doing a great job today. And you need to do whatever you can to keep them because they are awesome." Just imagine if we were to do that. You think that might value somebody in the moment? I actually think they're going to be so surprised, they're probably not even going to know what to say. But you could do that. Brag to somebody. Tell somebody, "Hey, they're doing a great job, and I just wanted you to know." Number 9, leave a positive comment or review, especially for like small businesses these days. A lot of people go to like Google review. Leave them a 5-star. If they do a good job, leave them a 5-star review. Leave someone a comment. Do what you can, because what is that? I mean, you could just receive the service and go, "Thank you," and go about your way. Or you could say, "You know what? There's some value here that I can provide some value beyond this interaction, and I can help someone out." It's beyond your own interest. It's beyond thinking about yourself. And number 10, share your testimony. Now, I can't think of any better way. I ended this with number 10 because I can't think of any better way to value someone else than to give them the hope of Jesus. Now, it's very simple. You are sharing the hope that Jesus has brought into your life. It really is that simple. But sometimes we begin to think, "Well, I don't know how they're going to take it if I start talking about Jesus and my, you know, I." Think beyond yourself, your own fears and your own concerns, to the benefit of that other person. Here's where I was. Here's what Jesus did in my life. Here's what he means to my life today. It could be that simple. Share your testimony. All of these are ways, and maybe you can think of better ways, to practically show others value. And by the way, these will be in your notes. You can refer back to them, but you've probably got other ideas that are already stirring right now. Let's just create a movement, just a valuing others movement, and just see if it doesn't begin to change things. Now, I want to be careful about that, because we will lessen conflict in our lives with humility, but it doesn't always make it go away. Jesus himself was humble, the most humble person to ever walk this earth, and where did it lead him? We just read it. He was obedient even to death on a cross. But that's not the only place that it took him. Paul continues to write, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, you can clap for that. This is really good news. And I think one of the things that Paul is pointing to with the Philippians and with the believers, he's saying, I just want you to know. Like, I know that Christ lived a perfect life. I know that he died on the cross. I know that he rose from the dead. But I know the end of the story. And I know that one of these days, every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. But we don't have to wait for that in the future. We can do that now. You see, that is a future peace that awaits us, but we can have peace in our lives now by confessing Jesus and bowing our knees, submitting in humility. It's not lost on me how countercultural this message is. I get that. You and I, we have grown up in a world that has told us this is the last thing that you do. We've grown up in a world that says you look out for number one. In fact, who do we applaud? We applaud some of the most self-obsessed, people in our world, athletes, celebrities, politicians. We see them getting ahead, and it almost seems like that's the way. Well, it is the way of the world, but it is not the way of the cross. Paul is saying it's not our way. This isn't what you signed up for. You signed up to follow Jesus and the way of the cross. And that way is not demanding your rights. It's in humility, understanding the value of others. I hope that you will, this week, choose one of the 10 things. You've got a lot of practical ways that you can value others, and you don't have to wait. You can start as soon as you leave here. But more than that, I hope you choose the mindset of Jesus Christ. Just as Paul encouraged us, choose the mindset of Jesus Christ, and you will have more than that. You will have his peace.